In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello, and welcome back to the You Up podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on? What's happening in your life? What's the dilly? Remember when people used to say that? What's the dillio? Or am I a loser?
I feel like that was like a very long time ago, but yeah, like I mean, bring it back.
I can't. If I brought that back, people...
The dilly. I mean, I think
what's
the best...
The dillio?
The best thing you've done for the English language to me was Despy. I use it all the time.
So Despy. I love so Despy.
Because yeah, it sounds listen. A lot more like it sounds what it means. Like, you know what I mean?
Totally. If someone's desperate, they're totally Despy.
Totally.
Yeah. I thank you. Well, listen, we take a lot of swings and then hope for one home run.
Exactly.
You know, Dillio doesn't work and Despy does.
Should make a hat. Despy.
Not Despy.
Not
very Despy or V Despy. I liked sort when of. V became very in
yes.
the lexicon.
Also made a lot of sense.
So much
I use
sense.
That all
there
the
was
time
no other
well.
Word that it, yeah, there was nothing else it could have been. I just and V just like it has like if you're describing something as very, it just had that extra oomph that very I, needed.
Because it also takes the edge off like of the thing. It's like you are V that, annoying right now. Like a little less very, offensive yeah, be, than very annoying.
You're right. That is very true. Or V true. Yeah, very true. An agreement. But if you were like you're being V annoying,
yeah, it'd be like okay. Yeah. Like I get that I'm sort of annoying, but you're not like mad at me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just fucking calm down.
Exactly. And on that note, well, since last week, things are V much the same.
V much the same. It's V cold. I'm back in New York. It's V, you know, again, I do think the temperature of the dating world, if I could be so bold,
yes,
is a little down, a little, you know, a little dark, a little,
right.
You know, it's still, we're coming out of it slowly. I judge the temperature by the messages that I get. And
okay.
I'm sure you're getting the same messages. And, you know, the when you put up the question box, like, are they hopeful questions or are they everything's horrible questions?
Right. Well, are they ever hopeful on a question box?
Sometimes.
Occasionally.
Sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes it's like, hey, what's a great first date spot? Like, that's a
right.
hopeful question.
Yeah, that's
and then
an
sometimes
excited
it's
question.
Like, yeah, and sometimes it's like, we've been dating 6 months and... This came up, and it's like, okay, you're dating, and I think during the winter season, it's like, are we ever going to go outside again? It's like,
right,
you know, a little darker.
Well, I think the benefit for someone like you, I think, who's like constantly on the go, is like, I feel like maybe this is wrong, but I feel like it'd be harder for you to feel like you were in a rut because you are always moving, regardless of
here's
what's
when
going
I felt
on.
I this week I think you're right. I think this week I felt very much in a rut. I got back from Florida, like beautiful weather too. It's just, you know, it's hard. Like I've been working out outside. Like I'm like, should I just join a gym? Should I just, you know, like it's like
right.
those types of decisions. And then I think the highs become higher. Like I can ignore it more when I'm on the road. But then when I come back, it's like reality hits me a little bit. Like I get a little bit down. So this has
okay.
been kind of that week for me. But I think, you know, I think we're all feeling that. Are you feeling, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I hate this weather. It's like terrible. But, and also,
it affects
I mean, like,
everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of annoying shit going on. But I mean, on the other hand, it is kind of nice to have an excuse to do nothing.
Kind of veg out and
right.
Yeah, I mean, I used the cold as an excuse to go buy a bunch of new pants at Lululemon. So, and totally just closed my eyes while they were ringing it up. So, you know, we all have our thing,
I
a
mean,
little retail
yeah.
therapy.
You deserve it. You deserve it, Jared.
Thank you. We all deserve it. And
yes.
Listen, you know, and we want to thank the listeners for being listeners. It is very cool that you guys love the podcast, you're enjoying it, that you're commiserating with us. You know, I hope we don't, you know, we sound, I think this is, I hope this is comforting to people.
Yeah. And if you want more personal stuff, subscribe to You Up With Benefits. I get some nice messages from people after any of them come out that make me both happy and reevaluate everything that I said on the show. Because sometimes well, it seems, you know, sorry, go on.
For the, sorry to interrupt, but for the listeners that don't know, You Up With Benefits is our subscription, you know, version of this show. And twice a month, we do an extra podcast. And Jordana and I switch off. It's a Jordana episode, then a me episode. And we kind of become each other's therapists. And
yes.
It's funny that you the way you brought it up, it's like, yeah, a Jordana episode just came out.
Yes. You know? It just came. You know when it's out, when you wake up yeah. to like a lot of DMs about the episode.
Yes.
And I appreciate the people who are listening. And sometimes I'm like, maybe I didn't explain that right when I get a certain DM. I mean, I am very grateful that I have a partner that allows me to talk about our fights with you. And he doesn't get to give his perspective. Well, I'm only giving really like my perspective and what I think his perspective is. So mm-hmm. I do want to thank him for that. He never really cares, never minds. He's very happy for me to share like personal aspects of our life. But also at the same time, I don't think he doesn't really have like a voice in this conversation when I'm discussing it with you.
Well, I, you know, for the listeners that aren't subscribed, and you can get subscribed by searching it on Spotify, You Up With Benefits, or just hitting that button in the Apple Podcasts. And it's $3 a month, two extra podcasts, and then no ads, and it comes out a day early. But this last episode, you discussed an argument that you and Mike had. A couple arguments. It was, and then it turned into a new argument that I presented to you that you should be having. I have to feel that he I hope that he thinks that I'm like a good,
yeah,
an unbiased arbiter of the situation.
And I think that's why he doesn't really mind it, because he does feel like you understand maybe his perspective more and can articulate it probably in a way that feels more personal than what I'm expressing on his behalf.
Well, this is why more men should be listening to our podcast.
Agree.
And emailing in. Like,
did you see that tweet? Someone tweeted like something about the episode, yeah. And they were like, "Mike, run!" And I was like, "Oh my god, what did I say? I don't even like. Do I present myself as like some monster? I don't. You know. Then you know when you see it, all the good stuff, you see all the stuff, yes. And then you see the one negative thing, and you're like, "Am I gonna like? Is he gonna divorce me? Like, what's going? I don't even know. What
I wasn't gonna bring up the tweet. I saw it." I wasn't going to bring it up, and the person
it was a man.
It felt like it was a man. It felt in jest. I didn't think of
it. Yeah, I wasn't like deeply wounded by it, but I did make me, you know what I mean? I wasn't, I think he said it as a joke, but it did, you know, there's always a part of you that whenever you hear the slightest thing, you're like, what did I say?
I'm the most sensitive person in the world to that stuff. So I totally understand. And when I first read it, I was like, and I wanted to defend you being like, you didn't sound... I don't think any argument amongst a couple is really crazy. Like, I think, you know, we were talking about ice cream flavors, but ice cream flavors became about something totally different, you know, and totally valid, as it always does. So, listen, this is a good commercial for You Up With Benefits. Yeah. I think it was, but I do think, like, it is, I love when you bring these arguments to me because I understand his frustration in an argument where it's like, you're like, I want to work this out. I want to get over this, but I want it said in a way that I'm not really ready to say, or I really can't right now because you're the one that's upset and I'm not.
Right.
You know, like I think in most arguments, like, so when I come in and I'm like, okay. You know, I would think it's like an easier, I have no skin in the game, you know?
Yeah, and that's the beauty of this podcast in general when you read all these emails is that we don't have to do the thing. So it's nice to also
being there. Hypotheticals.
It's funny. I always talk about communication relationship. I am not perfect. I'm always working on that. And I think Mike is working on being receptive in that way. But maybe I felt weirder about that one than the other ones because usually I like to like wrap them up in a little bow of like this was totally worked out. And this one I'm still kind of like, I don't really know why that bothered me. Like, did it even bother me? Was I on my period? I don't know. So I think I felt like a little bit like less.
That's always the. That's
I know I hate using that thing. As an excuse. I hate using that as an excuse, but sometimes it actually it's a real thing.
I don't have to deal with a period, so I don't know. So I can only imagine. But I was like, it is funny when you're in a fight with your significant other, and they're like, "Well, maybe it was my period." It's like I spent a day on that.
Yeah, yeah, like, they have to pay for it, right?
On a maybe.
Well, that's the annoying thing again about like not fully understanding why you're pissed off is you're kind of like, okay, then I don't want to just like it seems like a cop out to just blame my hormones, but.
Well, no, but I don't think it's a cop out. I was trying a joke out, and I don't know how mean or horrible this sounds, but like I was like, women from the beginning of pandemic should have said that. No, when we got the vaccines, women should have been like, it's just like a period. And then all men would have been like, oh, what? Like, we finally would have understood what it's like to get a period. We would have, like, we wouldn't, like, lessen it. We'd be like, oh, you.
Right.
You know, getting the vaccine, a day in of bed. I was bedridden for a day, you know?
Like, that should have been the campaign.
Right? I don't know.
Totally. So,
but I, it is funny that, like, it's a very cliche relationship moment when your significant other, your female significant other, like sidles up to you after the storm is over being like, hey, was just having a moment here. And you
Sorry.
Can tell like they're like they're like, I've come off of it, you know, like you could tell right. that they've wrapped their head around, oh, that was a period moment, I should probably go and snuggle up and let them right. know that we're cool now.
And then when you realize you were acting potentially irrationally, you're like, you're not mad, right? Like, <you're> like there's a really funny TikTok, we should share it on you up, that's like when your girlfriend's on her period and it was like, you better shut the fuck up, and he's like, okay. And then the next day she's like, why are you like being so mean to me, like not giving me any attention?
It's like, yeah, you told me to shut the fuck up yesterday. Yeah,
exactly. But we'll share. I'll send that to Maddie. We should share that one. It was funny. But what's up with you? What do you have going on?
I'm all over this great nation, and I want people to come to shows and bring their friends. Someone tweeted at me today, talk about tweets that like annoy you, but they shouldn't. You know,
right.
I got a tweet today. Oh, because I'm at the Palisades Mall this weekend. It's already happened.
Oh, I
it's
saw that happened. Picture you put up of you at the mall. I'm like, who's
mall madness?
The mall? Wow, the mall.
So, yeah,
the thing about the mall. So, mall feels comforting.
It. Have you been to a mall lately?
I've been like this past year.
Malls are sad. I mean, malls. Right. It feels like the end of the country. You know, when you go to.
They're
not
empty.
To be too dramatic. They're like deteriorating. It just feels like you're at like a Smithsonian exhibit of the 2000s. Like it feels
right.
like a time
maybe
that's
why
that's
it feels good.
By.
But it feels like the idea of it feels a little bit good. Like everything's here in this one place or something. But
it's all you know. It's almost like a TikTok that like just is all nostalgia. You know, you're like,
right.
ooh, I remember, you know, feeling it. There's a great South Park episode about like the member berries, about, you know, remember when? And it's just like to make you forget everything that's awful. But I put out this thing of mall madness, and then about because I'm at the Palisades Mall, and this person tweeted, I haven't contemplated going to the Palisades Mall this much since high school. It's like, what are you contemplating? It's a fun night of laughs.
Right.
Like this sounds sad. I'm like, so
just come.
Just come. I'm like, there's nothing to contemplate. What are you gonna do? Sit on your couch and look at your ex's Instagram stories? Like, this will be fun. I'll bring the jokes, you bring the laughter, and that's all we gotta do. So I'm gonna be in Philly this weekend. Philly's actually selling well, so thank you to the people of Philadelphia. Oxnard, California, Brea, California, LA sold out, Sacramento, Miami, Hartford, San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Omaha, Columbus, East Providence, and Nashville. Those were added to my calendar. Dayton, Albany. So jaredfree.com if you want to come. Bring your friends. It's not just like me talking about things that you know because you listen to the podcast. It's like, you know, I talk about everything.
You do a great show. I've seen it.
Thank you.
It's really, really funny. You will not be disappointed that you won.
Yeah. I talk dating, but like in
you talk about everything.
I talk about everything. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. You're very good.
Thank
I can
you.
Vouch
I
for you.
I appreciate that. So listen. Listen to my co-host who who has no, no bias I, whatsoever.
No, but I really do. Honestly, I not because not only here's how you know I have no bias. Not only did I see it and loved it, but I sent everyone I know to various shows of yours across the nation. I had my siblings in Dallas. I said, you got to go. It's really funny. It's really good. You know, they've got kids. I'm not like suggesting shit that's going to be bad for them because it's like a night out when you've got like three kids is like kind of a pain in the ass. And I said, you know. I vouched for it. I believe in it.
That means a lot. And it is. I take that seriously. Someone's coming out there making a night out of it. I'm going to bring the funny. Da funny on the Dillio. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. What are we talking about today, Jordana? We this is kind of a continuation, right? We've talked about fixing people up. To make it broader.
Yes. I'm excited about this one.
Fixing people up. I got a DM last night from a woman, and it was with a PowerPoint proposal. It's called Proposal for Jared Free to Get Drinks with Her Friend.
Right.
So she had listened to the podcast, and then she created a PowerPoint explaining why I should get a drink with her friend. And I sent it to Jordana. And give me your thoughts, Jordana, please.
Are we doing a PowerPoint makeover? Like, she gave permission for us to discuss this, right?
She said that. I told her, I was like, we'll be talking about this on next week's You Up. And she was like, that's exciting. So I think that's okay.
Great.
But we're not going to give away anything about. We're going to speak in
general.
We're not giving
it could be
away.
Anyone.
General. Honestly, if I can give my feedback, I'm going to, like, if we're, we could touch it up. But I would say this is how all fix-ups should happen.
Totally.
Yeah.
No, completely. I saw this and I was immediately like, it's a yes for me.
Exactly. Like this person gave all the information. There's little things in it that kind of clue you into, like, you know, they've thought of their friend. They've thought of me, you know.
Totally.
And I'm very humbled, hashtag blessed by, you know, like I'm we're reading this not because I'm looking to like bathe in a fix up proposal. I do think that I think that the apps are the worst way to meet someone, the least exciting way to meet someone, but they're the most available.
Yes.
And the fix up is the best, but it's the least available.
And right. And this is a fix up from someone who doesn't actually know you personally, but is a fan of yours. So it's a little bit less ideal probably than a fix up from someone who actually does know you, because you know that, because you get to know that, you know that person, and you know how much trust you can have in them. So this
totally.
Is like,
there's some points in here where I'm like, they've made assumptions based on things I post that I would disagree with. Yes.
But fine. I think overall, and again, I think the important to make this more relatable to the audience who's probably not getting PowerPoint proposals for dates with someone's friend. This could have all been written out in texts to a friend with the photos. Like, you don't need to make a PowerPoint to present a fix up like this to someone you know.
You know what? You do need to make a PowerPoint. Because this PowerPoint made it. It's like, if you want to fix someone up, here's the thing. People,
if you know them,
throw around. That's what I'm saying. If people throw around fix ups just like as if it's nothing, and it's like, no. it means so much to the people you're fixing up. So how about you do have to make a PowerPoint? Because if you really care about fixing me up with someone, you'll make the PowerPoint.
Okay.
Like because what ends up happening, because this person did a great job, like there's explanation, there's pictures. I mean, they went into some detail that we're going to get into in a minute, but I would say like to just like throw a person at you as if it's someone on a dating app, that's just not how it is. Like, this is important to the people everyone right. wants to be set up.
This is their time. This is their time. Money. This is their mental energy. So
absolutely. I mean, I agree. But that's why I'm like, this could have been a text. Like, if I knew this person, they could have sent it to me as a text. Right. But I would want this information.
That's what I'm saying. But like I wouldn't write up a PowerPoint because that's not my skill set. But no. I would, if I wanted to set someone up, I would send them, like this person, I would send 4 to 5 pictures that are clear of their face and body shots. I would send I would send background information about them, and I would send why I think they would be a good match for them.
The why is so important.
Yes.
You know, because, I mean, you and I are Jewish. We get the, you're just two Jews. And it's like, no, that's not enough. Right. You know, like now the why is, you know, now you've made me less excited. Well, let's go through it. You had, I liked your feedback. So it opens with a cover page.
Yes.
It says proposal for Jared Fried to get drinks with blank. We won't give the name out. But, okay. And then a picture of her.
So she's very pretty.
Beautiful.
Right. Immediately thought that. I don't like this picture. Not because she doesn't look pretty, but because she does look pretty, but because, and this sounds like a little nitpicky, but this was my biggest critique with the entire thing. This is the first thing I thought, was that she's smiling too intensely in this picture. And I mean, maybe that makes me sound like an asshole more than her, but
let me defend you.
Okay.
It's too intense a smile for the cover page of a PowerPoint where you're trying to set your friend up with someone else that is reading the PowerPoint.
Yes. It's too eager.
No, this picture in any other context is a great picture. In this context, it's like, oh my God, they're so eager that they have a PowerPoint. And it's the, you know, it's like, remember that, like, that
woman.
It can't accompany the PowerPoint. That's the thing. It's all about context. Remember that woman that was like the crazy dating face woman? She was like a meme forever.
Intensive. I mean, no one can see me. Like the intensive. Maybe we'll release this in video. Intensive smile. Like it's like it's scary a little bit. I can understand a man being scared by that. I would be scared by seeing a picture of a man like that.
Now, I do think she looks great. I saw this and I was like, you know, again. We didn't know what was to come. So we didn't know if there was going to be more pictures on the front picture. But that's the thing. That's the thing with any dating app picture. Your first one, you better nail it.
Right. And I think this is a good, also other than the smile, I do think it's a good picture because she looks very pretty. It's not like too sexual. So it doesn't look like, that's not like the first thing that you're thinking. Right. She just seems like a nice, like, pretty person to me.
Absolutely. So now let's go to slide 2.
Okay. Slide 2 says...
You want to read it?
I'll read it. Slide 2 says, why should you keep flipping through this PowerPoint? Imagine.
Which I like as an opener because it's like, it addresses the elephant in the room that this is a pretty crazy fucking
thing. She's getting ahead of it. She's getting ahead of you being like, oh, this person's like a lunatic.
Totally.
So, a fan named Blank sends you a Google Slides link. Scary. Agreed to you.
Awareness.
You had me test it out on my on my phone.
I was so sure the link would take me to ruining my phone forever that I sent it to Jordana first to test out.
Well, I guess I'm more... irresponsible than you because I just clicked it immediately.
Try this. See if it's bad. It's an old Billy Crystal joke. Yeah.
Inside, she doesn't look like a bot, so you open it up. Inside, you find photos and information about one of her friends, Blank. She goes by Blank. Blank wants you to grab a drink with Blank because she's never had a stronger hunch in her life about two people hitting it off, even though she's never met you in person. Said hunch is all she can think about while listening to your podcast, and it's driving her mad. Blank is crazy, but she's hopeful. You decide, what the hell? The apps are trash. It's January 18th, and things are feeling bleak. You're returning from Boca soon. I like the picture. I'm like, she's a good storyteller. I'm imagining this.
I mean, listen, this is my life.
Yes. You'll have the drink with Blank in the West Village, martinis at Blank. And Jared, you two will hit it off. Where it goes from there, who knows? Who cares? But wouldn't this be a fun story for you up, even if it moderately panned out?
See, let me address, and if you're sitting there being like, I want my friends to fix me up, send them this episode.
If you're currently making a PowerPoint based on this guidance, you're going to get so many PowerPoints.
I don't want, I'm not asking for PowerPoints. I'm trying to help the listener, because if they're sitting there being like, how do I want to be fixed up? I would assume this opener is everything you want to hear as someone being presented someone's friend. I've thought of you personally. I have a hunch. I get you. She even gave us where to get the first drinks. Light lift for me. And then she says, here, the ending is perfect. Where it goes from there, who knows? Who cares? I think that's how everyone wants to be set up.
No pressure.
No pressure. Just who knows? Who cares? Here's the restaurant. She's down.
Not because here's what she didn't say. Like, if you don't want to marry her, like, then you're the biggest piece of shit. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know anything about like it. Like, she's going to be so like, you're going to want to date her forever because she's so incredible or something.
Women do this all the time. She's amazing. She's gorgeous. She's amazing. Everything she touches turns to diamonds and gold. You don't understand. It's like, everyone's amazing. Everyone's gorgeous. Everyone is to someone. I don't know your friend. I don't know, even know this person.
That doesn't do anything for you. Right.
No, and even when people go, you don't have to marry her. Don't even you mention the word marry. Like, why does it have to be that? Right. But where it goes from there,
we're like,
who
you don't
knows,
have to go on a second date cares? With her. That's all. Yeah,
totally. That's it. That's it. So I think to anyone, if you're sitting there and you're in a relationship, this is how your friends want to be set up. If you're not in a relationship, this is how you want your friends to set you up, I would assume.
Yes. And again, it doesn't have to be in a formal PowerPoint. It can just be like this written out in text messages. She really set the scene.
Totally.
I'm into it.
I mean,
you want to read the next one?
The next slide is quick and important details. This is really where it gets into the nitty gritty, so to speak.
You can read the details that aren't like giving away.
Yeah, I'm not going to give a, yeah.
Intense.
Female, 28 years old, from blank blank, currently lives alone, blank blank. Doesn't give her address, but she gives the area. I don't think we should tell people where people live alone. Funniest.
She lives alone. No deadlock.
Keeps a key under a rock in front of the, funniest gal, prefers situational humor in our blank friend group. Perfect combo of chaos and drive. And it's a good school. Mentioning the good school, that's a plus.
Casually. I like that she mentions the good school casually. And also totally. In a way to show how they know each other.
Yes. It was written like a pro. One of the loudest people I know in a good way, trust me. See, I like that detail because people would think that I'm this loud, boisterous person.
Right.
From this podcast. I think people think I'm an oaf of sorts if they listen to me here.
Which is
not
the case.
I don't think I'm that way in public.
No, I actually think you're probably quieter than the average person, potentially.
I'm more, I like, you know, and someone would say, one of the loudest people I know, and she writes in a good way, trust me. People would think that's like, oh, they wrote a negative thing about their friend. No, that's just something about their friend that could turn you on, could turn you off.
Right, just a fact.
That's a good thing, just a fact. And yes, blank, the school, means raised Catholic, but I swear to God, I've never encountered a more Jewish acting Catholic. Okay. How do you feel about that line?
I think it's self-aware.
It's self-aware. Some Jews would maybe go, well, what does that mean? And then it gets worse. They're like, well, she's nebbish. She's annoying. She complains a lot. Like, you know, it could go down the road.
Cheap.
It can go down like anti-Semitic tropes, so to speak. Yeah. But I'm like, you know, maybe she's saying she's Larry David-ish. That's kind of what anytime someone says someone acts Jewish, I'm like, oh, they think they'd be on Seinfeld.
Yeah. I mean, would someone be offended if you said someone was a Catholic acting Jew? I would just assume it meant they were...
like waspy.
Yeah.
And that, like, and I guess that could be offensive.
Quieter.
I don't know. Less annoying. Now it's just mean to Jews again. Just
in the other way. Like less emotional, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more like Stepford Wife. That could be the negative way to look at it. Like just preppy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've met Catholic Jews, like those, that version of Jew. I'm thinking of one person right now.
Is it Mike?
All right.
Anyway.
No, he's the Jewish, you know, I'm thinking the other way, the Jew who kind of acts Catholic.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I know those types. I get it. But okay. Loves charcuterie more than anyone I know. This is where it's like, and then she writes, I think even more than you. I don't love charcuterie.
Right. Maybe, but you love charcuterie culture, or you're...
I do.
Well,
I love what it says about people.
Right, which is like me and Christmas trees, I would say. Like, I'm not like obsessed with Christmas trees, but I like the culture around like why you would choose to do it a certain way, which is what I think you love.
Sure.
You like culture.
If someone loves charcuterie, then we would be a match for talking shit on bad charcuterie. I guess that's
they might have thoughts also about charcuterie.
Yes, that I would disagree with because I'm the board lord. No, okay. So then, highly social with many different friend groups, but also very independent. Reed, I anticipate she will love your hectic schedule since it means more time alone for herself. I think that's a nice detail.
That would be one of the first things I would think of when I was thinking of someone to set you up with. I would think that, like, how independence to me is a major, would be a major personality trait that I would consider when setting you up.
See, I appreciate that, and I understand why it's something that people think of. I have the, and I guess this might be my own shit that I'm dealing with. I don't trust that. You know what I mean? Like, I always think
you're independent, and then you get a taste, and you just want more.
Oh my god, that perfect impression of me. Baby got a taste. Gotta have the whole thing.
She thinks she likes alone time and then she met me.
Yeah. I just think people like being in relationships, and I don't know. To me, I'm like, my mom always does this. Who could date you? She always says that to me. Like, if I was a woman, that would be horrifying, I think. But like, she always, like, I think it's funny, but she's like, who would want to deal with you? She does that a lot.
Because of the travel?
Travel, me in general. It'll be like, she'll see a sock on the ground and it just turns into, who could date you? You know, I don't know. Okay, so loves walking / quote unquote running on a path, but I can also marinate on the couch like I've never seen before. Do you think she would like reading that about herself?
I don't think she would mind.
On the couch like nobody I've ever seen before. Okay.
I don't think that's that insulting. I think I could say that about myself. And my issue with that one was that I think it's kind of like many people apply to that description. Like,
sure,
works out,
it's not very specific to her.
Enjoys binge watch. Like, I love Netflix. Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't really move us. Yeah, I'm with you. Then she tells her job like everyone else in NYC, but is smart, kick-ass at her job, genuinely loves her work, thrives on the going out frequently aspect. Okay. Cannot imagine her with someone who's not like this as well. I mentioned to her I was doing this right before sending, and she's horrified because evidently you DM'd back and forth a bit after one of your shows, but still letting me go through with this, she can go with the flow. a bitch in the best ways possible, or in the best ways, says shit how it is. My go-to for tough love advice, but a loyal friend. This is like her best woman speech. This is like the bachelorette party speech. You know, this is, what do you think of that ending? I think we're all good here. I
like it. To me, the ending reads a little bit like she's going to be a little bit of a bitch, but
I'm sarcastic, but people don't get my sarcasm.
Right. That's my only hesitancy, but maybe that's my, that's me taking like that personally or something. I don't know.
See, this is where I think they're trying to sell. Mm-hmm. They're like, Jared, you give tough love on the podcast, so you must love a bitch. And it's like, no, that's not really.
Right. No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's me taking that like personally, because I think someone might say that about me, maybe. I don't know what that means.
I understand that.
Right.
And it's like, and then you'd be like, wait, I'm a bitch? You know, like,
wait, I didn't say like, that.
Wait, no.
That's not how I self-describe.
No.
But, yeah, okay. So then we have two pages of photos, including five more photos, including some full-body shots, which I appreciate. I'm sure you do as well.
Beautiful girl, woman, beautiful woman. It is, she wrote that we've DM'd before. I have no doubt that happened. But she does send a picture of her entire family, which was very funny.
Yes.
Her entire family looks like Mitt Romney. Unsure if that is a plus or minus for you.
I enjoyed that.
It was very funny to describe them that way because that's exactly how they look. The family
wholesome
looks like they are in a J. Crew catalog.
Can I tell you my second celebrity crush other than Brendan Fraser is Mitt Romney?
Your celebrity crush is Mitt Romney?
He's one of them, yeah.
Really?
It's really weird. I'm not even a Republican, but
Brendan Fraser too?
Oh, I didn't tell you that one. Maybe I talked about that on At Patches podcast. Very weird. They're very bizarre, but I love Mitt Romney.
Really? I mean, he is a good looking dude. I like without
something
a doubt.
Something about
you
him.
Can't really. Is it the height?
Old Brendan Fraser, not like recent Brendan Fraser, like 28-year-old Brendan Fraser.
I kind of assumed that Brendan Fraser. Just because I've seen him lately, and he's got a look. He has a totally different look now than he did
back in then. Yeah, well, back it's weird. Day, it's like there's this movie called School Ties. You probably haven't seen.
Of course,
it. You have seen it, where he plays like a Jewish football player.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like, that's what I want. And I have I have a crush on Brendan Fraser in School Ties, but I think Mitt Romney, while not exactly the same kind of person, because he's like Mormon. Has like some sort of a weirdly similar like preppy like preppy vibe. Yes. I don't know.
He's prep school hot. I it is funny that you're like, there's really not a lot of all-star Jewish football players out there. I guess I have to move on
to Brendan Fraser in School Ties.
Yeah, that is but they are in the similar phylum of look. I guess it's like private school energy. I mean, her family looks
private
like
private school
they
energy.
Are,
that's great. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, this family looks like the mascot for a private school in the Northeast. Like
yes.
This is like Andover Academy face they have.
Completely. Yes. And
but,
I like
okay.
it. It makes me feel at ease. The family picture for some reason makes me feel at ease in the
interesting. The family
PowerPoint.
That family portrait made me feel the opposite of Eddie's. It doesn't look like we would relate on one thing, and it's actually the biggest turnoff in the whole thing, to tell you the
really?
Truth.
Really? That's so funny. I saw that. I'm like, I want to marry into that family.
Oh, I saw that, and I was like, this family will be like, what do you do? A
you
comedian?
Know what?
You talk about what? Jews do who? You know, it would be very, I just felt like we would never get along.
Interesting.
They'd be
that's
like,
fair.
They'd be like, what about finance? Have you ever worked in, you know, they would try to change my job.
Right.
It just has that look.
I could see that when I'm interpreting it from your eyes, although I think that you were pretty able to adapt to any scenario. But I also think maybe that's also because you were very close with your like parents in your family, and maybe that exacerbates a need for like a certain kind of family.
Well, I know that Jewish mothers are I do well with them. That's like my right. go-to audience as far as like if I could really make a woman swoon, like I could be in that, and I could be kind of like a.
Now you're gonna get like people submitting their moms.
Yeah. Please do not. But when I see this family, I'm like, I ain't fooling them.
Well, they're like, not gonna. They're just be, not they might buying not buying my. They're bullshit. Not buying what you're selling. I think this family is not gonna be like. Yeah. And the jokes about Passover were like top tier.
Every joke they'd be like, well, what do you mean? You know, like right. Like I. And it is to kind of blow this out to the general public. People do these judgments. I mean, you're hearing judgments of people, and our judgments don't make us sound great. I would say, or don't make me like me looking at her family. I'm sure they're nice people. Don't get me wrong, but
I mean, I like. I'm into them.
You're into them, and Jordana wants to go right there's Christmas tree. But I'm saying, the people do this. People look at a family and go, I don't know if I could fit in. And this is kind of the issue with dating apps is like you go down the road when you see certain pictures. Like if you meet someone in a bar, you can't really go this way. You are emotionally masturbating.
Look at that.
Oh, absolutely. I think men emotionally masturbate too. And just, I think men emotionally break up with you before you've dated.
How wonderful.
So like they see what's wrong before it goes wrong.
Right.
As opposed to seeing what's right and could be amazing.
They don't see the... Right. Women emotionally masturbate and see the potential of where it could go if all goes well. And men, like you're saying, see the opposite of like the worst case scenario if things go poorly.
Yeah. I guess men emotionally break up. You know, like it is... Because I'm noticing this about myself on dating apps. Like I'll see like one... You know, line, I'll be like, oh, you know, like I don't think of it in the positive way. I'm like, oh, I could never date that person.
Right.
You know, like what will 6 months from now be? And I should be really thinking about what would a date with them be. And it's just not how I think.
Interesting. So we could all work to meet more in the middle, I think.
Absolutely. Let's go to the next one. The next one is hilarious. Why I think you're a match. And this is actually the part that's left out of most fix ups. I think this is actually the best part of the whole thing. You know, she writes, value, these are not values, but you catch my drift and what I know about this person. So she writes, family, close with her family, but does not sugarcoat drama. It's all normal level drama. Don't worry. So she's giving me a taste of why. And then balance between health and social life. I'd call her balance. And while she'll stay in, if she's truly exhausted, she's not one who is going to become a gym rat or intense dieter and has an active social life. Calling out BS. She's a liberal born from a family of conservatives. We can tell. What more can I say? She thinks you're hilarious, though, and won't be too cool to know about your work. I don't know what that means, but I think...
I know what that means.
What does that mean?
I think it's like she's not... I think, and you've talked about... I think this means she's been listening to you because you've talked about like when you go on dates and someone's like, oh, like what do you do? Or like... You're a comedian, like is that like a full time? You know what I mean? Like those people who don't take your job seriously, or like think that like their job is like more. You know what I'm saying? I got totally. What she meant by that.
Okay, that's a good thing. Passion for work. She thrives at her job, even if she bitches about it. Dating, honestly, pretty picky because her time is so valuable to her. I like that. Time valuable to people is a good thing. Has never chosen to be in a relationship out of loneliness or boredom. I'm into that line. Okay. NYC, unsure that she'd ever leave. Oh, we're moving now. Okay. And then South Florida, obsessed with Miami, unsure about Boca. Okay. Well, I'm unsure about Boca too.
Okay. So then maybe you were more than satisfactory as she rated that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She rated these each as excellent versus satisfactory. Okay. And lastly, why you should believe me, a stranger. Which I like. It's awareness.
Yes.
And she writes, I just signed up for Patreon. Well, that wasn't necessary. You didn't have to pay me. Agree with, quite honestly, all your dating advice to begin with. I'm a peacemaker who's afraid of conflict, so my worst nightmare would be setting two people up. I wasn't 99.9% confident that they'd get along.
I like that.
Now what? And then now what? I'll respond to DMs with any questions, and then she gives the number. I like this. I mean, this is a perfectly executed setup to me.
I love it. As you said, I saw it. Mm. I said, it's a yes. This is a go. And a I go. Would like, let, I think the what the audience really wants to know before we move on and get to your
yes.
your awkward sex and your emails is, what are you going to do?
I think we got to get a drink.
Yeah. Well, right? I thought you, it'd be funny if you were just like, wanna... yeah, I'm not, probably not going to go.
It's a no for me. The family ruined it. No, I... the Mitt Romney four. No, I'm down.
Bring
I think,
me if you wind up dating her, she can bring me home to her parents.
Yeah, she'll bring you home. Yeah. You'll hang out with them. You guys exactly. will all wear matching pajamas and sit in uncomfortable chairs. They just exactly. look like they don't have comfortable furniture in their house. All I'm saying, but
a lot of white.
Yeah, I think I'm down for a drink. Yeah, a lot of white furniture. A lot of. Don't go in that room. Take off your shoes. My mom's a take off your shoes person, too, so I get that. But yeah, I think I gotta go. And I don't mean to sound unenthusiastic about it. I'm enthusiastic, but I'm also like,
well, there's no. Here's the thing. I think a lot of dating, and this is why dating apps are so tough, is a chemical kind of just like vibe thing, and there's no real way to predict that. Which is why you got to have to use dating apps as introduction apps, as we've learned on previous podcasts from Dr. Helen Fisher. But like, there's no real way to predict if you'll be, it's like, I do think some of it is like chemical, and you'll kind of know in like 5 minutes when you meet her, if you'd like to do it again.
That's why I thought that there should be a dating app where you just match to give a hug to one another. And then you can decide. You give a hug and then you go, hey, that we tried. And then it's over.
No, I like that. Or you like, you know, you spend like that's, I mean, that's the idea of speed dating, right? I love the, I feel like speed dating is not like considered cool anymore or like a thing, but I think the idea of speed dating is amazing. It's like 5 minutes, you move on, you decide if you want to spend any more time with them.
Maybe it's a dating app where you get 15 minutes goes on the clock. So you hit the app and in 15 minutes a bell goes off and then you guys have to walk 100 yards away from each other to be able to check yes or no. To more time.
Oh, so you don't have and to look at them in the face as you're like, nah.
Yeah. And you're 100 yards away, so you can run if this person's a fucking crazy person.
I think that's kind of how speed dating works, though. Like, you do the whole thing,
right?
And you like rate them, and then at the end, like, I think after the event, like, you find out who's like into you. I think that's how. I've never done speed dating, but I would. Well, I remember thinking when I was single that I would have loved to do speed dating. It seems like a great concept.
There's got to be an app version of it. I think there could be.
Well, I guess we'll have to look into it.
Well, I mean, time to invest.
Or create
Someone
it.
Someone listening is like, yeah, create it.
I think the audience will want to follow up on this. So
I assume they absolutely do. I'm sure. And please, no more PowerPoints. This was fun, but I'm okay.
Unless they're really, really good or different. But yeah, Jared, go on the date. I need to hear about it. The audience needs to hear about it and report back, because I think that will also, I also think that will be just as interesting as what was just
submitted. Hope this was interesting for people. I mean, we wanted to talk about it. We went a little bit long on it, but I think this is an interesting topic that is related. Send this to someone you want to set you up. This is the level of work you want done on your behalf, because I appreciate this person that sent it to me. I really
He's a good
do.
Friend.
Good friend. Good friend to me. I don't even know them.
Also shows she has some good friends.
Yes.
I like that.
That's a positive. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Boll & Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Boll & Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BollAndBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, BollAndBranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Okay, let's do some awkward sex. UUP at Betches.com.
Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com. J&J, love the podcast. I listen every week. All nice things. During my freshman year of college in the great state of Maine, I met a tall, cute senior guy at an off-campus party. As the party wound down, he asked if I wanted to go back to his room. Being a kind of shy freshman, I was flattered and proceeded to go back to his dorm with him. Because we went to such a small college, most people left the doors to their rooms unlocked, as did he. However, as he entered his room with me trailing behind, he let out a giant gasp. In the middle of the floor of his room was a raccoon. Not a stuffed raccoon, not a taxidermied raccoon, not any other somewhat normal type of raccoon. I don't know what a normal type of raccoon would be. She writes, an actual raccoon. It wasn't moving and neither of us knew. I mean, can you imagine walking in and seeing a raccoon? It wasn't moving and neither of us knew what to do. So he lightly poked it with his foot. I'm not poking with my foot to see if it would move. We quickly determined that it was, in fact, a dead raccoon. He turned to me and said he thought his friends were playing a prank on him and begged me not to leave. I mean, at this point, aren't you like, let's try for, this is so college.
Yeah.
The idea that he's like, let me just get rid of this dead raccoon and then we'll start fucking. Like, what?
I mean, I kind of get it. If I was into it enough, I'd be like, just
sure.
Yeah, figure it out tomorrow. Just, you know.
It is so college because if you walked into a New York City apartment, you're like, there's a dead raccoon. You're going home.
Yeah, 100%. But this is like,
this is college.
I mean,
whatever.
College life is a totally, think about all the things that you would put up with in college that you would not.
Totally.
A roommate who lived in the same room as you. Like,
yeah, they're bottom bunk. We'll just go top bunk. They'll not even notice. Yeah.
Yeah, like if you had that in New York, that would not be... Okay.
No, it is one of those what you would allow for in college versus what you would allow for as an adult thing.
Completely.
Yeah, let me just get rid of this raccoon and then we'll start, you know, getting together. And I'm like, what
did
you
say? I would stay too, if I'm being honest.
I'd stay. I mean, it's a dead raccoon. I mean,
unless I really thought it was like their dead raccoon. Like he's.
Hey. I've had him for a few years and he's just dead. Like
I've been meaning to, if I thought that they knew that the raccoon was there and they were cool with it, that would be different than like he seems pretty surprised about it.
Yeah. Well, she writes, I was sort of stunned and just stood there like an idiot while he raced out of the room, got a box from the trash room and raced back upstairs. He then guided me back into the hallway, asked me to give him one more minute. Disappeared into his room with the dead raccoon in the box and closed the door. What's he doing with the raccoon now? A minute later, he opened the door.
I love his sense of urgency. He's like moving so fast so he doesn't lose the momentum of like he got this person back to his room. He's like, yeah. I like yeah, that. He's like he's moving. It's not like cat. He's like doing it really fast.
Yeah. No. This guy. I mean, they say look to the people running towards the fire, not away. Look to the helpers.
He's the helper.
Yeah. A minute later, he opened the door. He had used a pillowcase to pick up the dead raccoon and stick it in the box, which he then shoved down the hallway away from his room. Such a college move to just throw a dead raccoon and be like, okay, not my problem anymore.
Like it's room service. Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to leave it outside the door. Someone will get it.
The pizza box out there. Yeah. He then welcomed me back inside. Madame? Okay, come on into the love shack. No raccoons necessary. Like, what?
Oh my god.
He then welcomed me back inside and put on Jordan Sparks No Air on repeat, which honestly could be the makings of a whole other awkward sexual encounter story. Somehow, even his lame taste in music didn't scare me off, or a dead raccoon. And, and we yes, proceeded weird, that's what to you roll know, around. Yeah. Oh, not even the music could turn me off. How about the smell of a dead carcass? And we proceeded to roll around for a couple of hours. Turns out his friend had planted it there, having found it on the side of the road on the way back from a day of skiing. Though his friends had no idea he would be bringing anyone back to his room that night, thanks to this awkward sexual encounter, an entire group of senior guys referred to me as Raccoon Girl for the remainder of my freshman year, and I now hate raccoons. Yours, Raccoon Girl. I love the nickname that... It's the nicknames in college. Like this... She's not Raccoon Girl. She's Raccoon... Situation Girl. You know, it's
I thought
not like
you were
going to
say she's raccoon,
raccoon
woman.
These misogynist pigs. Yeah.
I'm raccoon woman. Treat me as Madame Raccoon. What was I going to say?
Raccoon.
Yeah, that's totally true. Like, she didn't have anything to do with the raccoon situation.
No.
Not her fault.
Not her fault. But I understand how the nickname happens because... You know,
it's college,
dumb idiot college. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. What do you think of this?
It's really funny. As I said before, I would stay. Totally get it. I mean, like,
totally get it.
You know, I think you would stay too.
Absolutely. It is just so funny to me the difference between college mindset and post-college mindset. Like, the minute you get out of college, you're like, if he has a futon, I am out of here. And in college, it's like, yeah, we got rid of the dead raccoon, and then we hooked up, and it was fun. You know, like,
yeah, now I'd be turned off if I walked in and the bed wasn't made. I'd be like, what kind of an animal is this? No?
Yeah, that it is. It is so funny how your mindset, and it changes, like, kind of immediately. Like, there is this thing of, like, you graduate college, and you're like, I'm an adult now. It's over. I'm done with that bullshit. And I'm done with the raccoons. Yeah. I'm done with the bunk beds. You know,
there's a bunch of phases, I think, with that. It's like the first one I agree is like when you're done with college and you're like, I'm a real person now. I'm not doing any of this shit anymore. And then there's another one or an even more intense one when you turn 30 where you're like, I'm not sleeping in a room with three other people like on a vacation.
Totally. I'm not doing center of the bed.
Right.
I need an edge of a bed on a vacation.
Totally.
At the very least. Yeah, I do get that.
Which is funny. But yeah, I think in college, I would totally be cool with this. Sad to say.
but it's not sad. That's what college is all about. Like, you're just like doing stupid shit with your friends.
Sleeping with raccoons.
Yeah. Sorry, what would you call this?
I am obsessed with Maddie wrote Raccoon Poon, and I was dying laughing. I thought that was perfect. So I have...
That is perfect.
I have nothing that competes with that. I didn't even try.
I mean, Raccoon Poon is... Yeah, that's perfection. Perfect. Roadkill Romance. That's fun. I just... The whole time I read this, I kept singing, Rocky Raccoon.
What is stuck, that?
You ever... The Beatles song?
Let's hear it.
Came into the room only to find Gideon's Bible.
I don't think I've heard that song before.
No?
Is that a famous song?
Doot and doot and doot 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 doot.
Who knew you were such a Beatles guy, Jared?
But I'm not. Gideon checked out and he left it, no doubt. To help with Good Rocky's revival.
You could have told me you wrote that song and I would believe you, Andre.
I'm the Beatles.
I mean, if you had been, there's a movie about that actually. It's really funny. But if you had told me that, you remember that movie where the guy like basically the Beatles never existed. He just writes the songs and pretends that they're his. I would have believed you.
Yeah, this is, it just kept playing in my head the whole time. The whole time I'm reading this, I'm like, man, Rocky Raccoon. But this is, I mean, red flag or deal breaker, you're your age now. You get brought back to an apartment. Guy has a dead cockroach.
Okay. And he removes it immediately?
He does the same thing. He throws it down the hallway like it's in a pillow.
I mean, I don't love, I would love if he called, like, if he did that for the moment and then was like, I'll obviously call an exterminator tomorrow.
But come on in.
One dead cockroach, I'm okay. Several, I'm probably out.
Mm.
Again, it's already dead. It's, if I saw it moving while things were happening, that would be a different story.
Okay. Yeah, because I was wondering, like, how do you, like, how do we zhuzh this up to a adult level red flag deal breaker? Because I don't think any of us are going to walk into a home with a dead raccoon sitting there. Like,
have you ever had any vermin in your apartment?
No. I mean, my complex, the place I live now, has a crazy amount of rats in the courtyard area. Like, it is like an amount of rats that you're like, I've never seen this in New York. I know the rats exist in New York, but like, we just kind of like live.
They live in your
that.
Building.
They, I think this is the home to all of them. Like, I do, I truly do believe that. But
how no, exciting for the girl you might go on a date with that in the PowerPoint.
Yoo-hoo! Can't wait for that martini.
And then I want to bring you back, and you can meet my rats.
Yeah, you can be- that's Rizzo.
Oh my gosh!
Let's
what a great name for a rat. Yeah,
rats are Rizzo.
I did have a mouse in my first Murray Hill apartment, and I was so fucking scared. I was like, I jumped on, I like literally wouldn't, I wouldn't get off the chair until someone came upstairs to like figure out how to find it.
Oh, really? So you, this is like a thing for you?
I mean, mice, a mouse, a live mouse is different, I think, than a dead cockroach.
Yeah, I mean, a rat is different than a mouse, though.
That's also true. A rat is disgusting. Oh, my God. I'm just thinking about it. When you see them, even in the subway, well, I don't like it.
Rizzo the rat is a Muppet. It's my favorite Muppet.
I didn't even know that. You're really aging yourself and all the... you got Rocky Raccoon from the Beatles, Rizzo the rat from the Muppets.
I mean, I just... I'm emailing you a picture of rats of Rizzo the Rat. I mean, I was a big Muppets is like I'm a fan. There's no this is my favorite picture of a rat ever is him with the Letterman's jacket on and a backwards hat and a pizza.
Rizzo the Rat.
Him with the pizza is favorite picture of any.
Okay,
Muppet.
Yeah, now this guy looks familiar.
Yes.
We'll show it on when we promote the episode. Rizzo the Rat.
Rizzo the Rat.
That's who lives in your building.
That's him and his whole family and extended cousins and friends. Let's do another email.
Let's do it. All right. Hi, Jared and Jordana. I recently found the podcast and I'm already addicted. Would love to know your take on my situation. My boyfriend and I live in different countries. I moved 3 months ago and this was the plan from before we started dating over a year ago. We both agreed to do long distance and talk every day and hope to end up back in the same city once I'm done with school next year. There are no plans to visit right now because we're both nervous to travel internationally due to the COVID situation. Here's my problem. Sex is really important to me, and when we're together, it's awesome. We're both into it, though just before I left, he went on antidepressants and that had a big effect on his libido. At first, he said he was excited to try new things while we were apart, like phone sex and video sex. I love all of it and would be a game for whatever he's comfortable with. I'm very down for flirty messages, sexting, sending pics, from suggestive to full-on graphic, the whole shebang. We've only ever sexted together once before we even met up for a first date back in 2020, but it was amazing and he was great at it. The issue is, now he's super weird about it. I've tried everything. Initiating, asking if I can send stuff, to which he said no, suggesting creative alternatives, being patient, letting him know he can initiate anytime he wants, etc. He doesn't want to and refuses to talk about it. I explained that he doesn't need to send anything he's uncomfortable with, but that it would be a favor to even just let me send pics or whatever once in a while. Would it be so hard to throw out an occasional show me what you're wearing to bed or a you look hot? I even bought an app-controlled vibrator that he can pilot via his phone. Wow. Ooh. Literally all he needs to do is open up the app and start going. We've done that a couple times just with me texting throughout and once sending a voice message of myself. He says it's not the same as in person. He just feels too awkward about it. I'm 100% sure he's not seeing anyone else. Trust me. Would take too long to explain how I know, but it's verified. Sounds like someone who has cameras. Sounds like...
a lot of trust right. In this relationship.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It's 100% verified. He says he's really attracted to me and wants to be intimate when we do in-person visits. What I want to know is, am I being an asshole for being annoyed? While I understand consent is important and I don't want to be pushy, having zero sexual interaction during long periods of time away doesn't work for me. I feel like this is the long distance equivalent of being perpetually unwilling to go down or use a toy to help your partner out. If we could work out some kind of compromise, I'd be willing to try whatever. But the fact that he's totally unwilling to even discuss it seems so wildly prudish. What do you think? Should I just drop the issue and commit to a life of heavy porn consumption? Should I drop him? I would hate to throw away an otherwise fulfilling relationship over sexting, but this is truly a dry spell I didn't sign up for. Sincerely, not vibing on no vibing.
I think this is an interesting email because here, and it's a little extreme because they're living apart, but you know, and they can't see each other for like a very specific amount of time. I think a relationship is in trouble when you can't even give the why. Like, if right. you can't even describe the why, then you're not even really like negotiating with a person, and you're dating yourself. I just believe that. I would also, let me give empathy
and
to his
awkward.
Side. It's
awkward. It's not a why, I don't think. It's
that's not
like a real
yeah, that's
why.
Not enough of a why.
It's a fake why.
Yeah. Let me give, like, I can give some explanations to why I wouldn't want to do that.
Okay.
And I've been in this situation before. I think sexting and all this stuff is like, I don't want to like, let me speak for myself.
This
I would
is
say
just for,
I'm
yeah,
always just
give your opinion.
Yeah, but like, I'm just exhausted by it. Like, it takes forever. It's never like the sexting never leads anywhere. And like, I think guys are just more physical. Like, I think like, right. I'm like, I need an ending to this. I need, you know, I need to feel like, so it's kind of like they're like FaceTime people and they're not FaceTime people. Like if someone FaceTimes me, I'm like, oh, this is now a chore. And I could understand where this could become
you
a
don't
chore
like FaceTime.
For him. Hate FaceTime.
Interesting.
I don't want to hold my hand up. I want to be able to like, if we're going to FaceTime, then I'd rather hang out in person. I'd rather text like the specifics of what we're talking about. Like, but right. the FaceTime to me is like, it's just, it always ends with two people just looking at themselves in the mirror,
right.
you know, and just checking out their own hair. So I do agree with her. Like, you guys have to figure something out to be able to be sexual together because of this defined long distance thing. But I will like speak up for a lot of people out there who are like, yeah, the sex thing, like, we end up saying the same thing every time. I feel a little ridiculous. I mean, she's bringing up options. Like, she's doing the remote control and all that stuff, and that's fun, and I'm happy
really
she's
trying
doing
to make
that.
It
and
work.
That's actually,
yeah.
And she's, and that's why I would say that this relationship needs to take a sabbatical at the very least, because she's trying seven different ways to make this happen. In most scenarios, it's just two people are like, we should sex. And it's like, why don't you ever say anything? It's like, well, I have to be home. I have to be home with like an hour of time to do this. And I have right. to be, you know,
you can't
in
do
front
it while you're doing something else, like on like traveling. You're
totally.
Not doing that. Right.
Especially internationally. That's where I give him empathy, where it's like your times of the day. Like, you know, if it's his afternoon and your night,
right.
maybe he's got other things going on. And then it becomes this like never ending thing, and it becomes a chore. That's and I felt that way in the past with sexting and like kind of phone stuff, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he had explained the way you're explaining it, sounds extremely rational. And I think it would make sense the way he explained it. Also, like, yeah, maybe if that's not something that he wants to do and she's really into that, like, maybe this is not like a match for the timing that they're in. Like, maybe they would have a great relationship in person if they were in the same place, but like, it's one of the reasons it's so hard to have a long distance relationship. It's the thing that you're describing. And that could be anything else. That could also be about like communication in general or texting. And so like both people kind of have to like really work at it, I think, for it to work in
yeah.
that scenario.
I've just very rarely, I totally agree with you. It might be that we got to put this on the shelf, but it's like, I very rarely as a guy just been like, I've been turned on by sexting, but I'm like, I need to know, like, I got this. This has to happen. I mean, this is also like,
there needs to be a real life encounter that's coming up.
That, and it also like, you know, guys, sex is very like on off switch, like boner, cum, you know, like
just wrote a romance novel.
That's right. And, but I mean, like, you know, when we talk about sex with in person, like a lot of women, you know, they got to be in a place. You got to be in the right headspace. Like, you know, I could go to an alley and punch one out next to a dumpster with, you know, with Rizzo the Rat sitting next to me. I'd be okay. You know, so I think that this goes into the kind of, and it's like, you know, the other stuff is fun, but it's fun when you're in person, and it's a little less fun when, like, going to this magical headspace is just not as much of a thing for a guy, I think.
That makes a lot of sense. We never touched on this really, but I think that explanation does make, because I mean, at least for me, I feel like a lot of it is so mental,
mm-hmm.
That I totally understand. Like, I could understand someone being, if it was physical, why that wouldn't do anything for them, and vice versa.
Yeah, and like, if listen, a guy had...
took, if you took all, like, for me, if you took all the emotions out of sex, it's not enjoyable. And for this, it's like you're taking all the physical, really, like, of the other person out of it.
Also, and this isn't fair, this isn't necessarily true for everybody, but, like, a lot of guys are in the position of having to direct every sexual experience. You know, be the leader, be the person that makes it happen, be the person that, like, takes control. And it's like, now you're doing something that you don't really like doing, and then you're asked to be the leader. You know, like, I've had good sexting experiences when the woman, like, was, like, taking control, telling me what she was into and what was happening. Like, but that was very
rare.
She seems
like she's kind of doing that.
She is, and I agree. It does sound like.
She's kind of like, I'll take whatever you want to give me. Like, I can just do it. But she's kind of like, I'll just do the whole thing. Like, you just have to answer.
Totally. And that's why this email is a very specific version that, like, I think we're both saying, like, a breakup might be needed. Like, I think it, like, to relate this to, like, everyone else, like, why is my boyfriend not excited to sext? I'm giving those reasons. This guy is not even negotiating with you, which means there's a bigger problem in the relationship. He's not telling you something. He's not, maybe he feels the exact same way I do, but he should be able to say that if you guys are in a relationship.
And I think for the advice for her is maybe bring up if that's the reason, or, like, try to open the discussion and to, like, get more into the reasoning behind why he won't do anything. And I think either that will either help you understand and maybe, like, you can meet somewhere in the middle, or again, it's not, the timing for you guys is just not there and your needs are not going to be met in this specific scenario. It doesn't mean they're bad or good. I just think it means, like, it's not the right situation for this relationship to thrive.
Totally. Let's play some games. You ready?
Let's do it. Now it's time to play Red Flag or Deal Breaker, presented by Impossible Foods. Impossible Foods makes meat from plants. Eating an Impossible Burger instead of an animal burger uses 87% less water, 89% less greenhouse gas emissions, and 96% less land. So if your date orders an Impossible Burger, it's a big green flag.
I'll say this. I mean, if you want to make one change for the greater good, those Impossible chicken nuggets, I had a couple drinks last night and then popped those in the oven. They were great. Huge fan.
I love Impossible. I think they have great stuff. They also sent us these meatballs. Mm. They're really, really good. Love everything they're doing in that space.
So get into it. Let's do it. Right. You ready?
Let's dive into it. Here's the first one. Hey, J&J, was recently on a first date and have a red flag or deal breaker. He admits to jerking off to one of your Instagram bikini photos. Context. We're in our late 20s.
I admit it. I've been doing it. I've been jerking off all day. Right. Next to Rachel Rizzo.
How did this come up is what I would want to know first. Yes. We're in our late 20s, matched on an app and hit it off. On our first date, we had a great time and a lot too much wine. So we went back to his apartment and hooked up. In the midst of the hookup, he told me he jerked off to one of my pool bikini IG photos. My Insta is public. In the couple day interim of us matching / pre-date, it's so weird to think that there are, like, men who are just like masturbating to the pictures that you publicly have on Instagram that aren't, you don't even think are that sexual.
I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but yes, that's happening. Well, I mean, that you don't think are sexual, it's like, how many women have I been, like, that I've dated that I've been like, oh, I love yoga pants, and they're like, these are gross, these are my gross yoga pants, and I'm like,
right,
yeah, but we like them. You know, like, I know you feel gross in them, but we think you're gorgeous. You know, like, this is...
Yeah.
your dream right now.
That's funny. And she writes, is this something most guys do but just wouldn't bring up to a girl? Should I run away now? Since we got along so well, I'm wondering if he thought this admission was sexy for the mood. But I've also never been told this, so it's pretty weird. Can't wait for your thoughts.
This is a tough one because I'm in the position of speaking for a monster.
Well, I don't think that he is a monster. That was not my... I kind of disagree with her thought on this. I think if I'm hooking up, if you're hooking up with someone and you're into it and you like the guy and he's like, yeah, I've like thought about, like, I think that's kind of hot. I could see why he would think it would be kind of hot.
See, this is the thing. I had the same thought process. I didn't think that you would, you went the same direction as me where it's like, you're in bed. He's probably whispering that in your ear. This in the context of how this happened, I get why he thought it was going to be sexy, and I also get why she's like turned. She felt it was weird because he basically miscalculated dirty talk.
I guess maybe too soon. I don't know. Like, it's kind of like, to me, it's not that far off from like, I've been thinking about you. I guess on a first date because they never met you, maybe it seems creepier. But like, if this was a third date and the guy's like, the first couple of dates went so well, I've just been thinking about you. And like, I think about you when I'm, you know, like, to me, that would be like, great. Like the person.
See, I think it's the specifics that made her weird. Like if he was like, I was thinking about you, I touch myself to you all the time. That's a different thing than, hey, so the seventh picture down when you're down at the, when you were on Christmas vacation, I came to that 17 times before we met. Like, that's where I think there's like a...
Or even using the term... Totally. Even using the term jerk off. If you use that term jerk off, I think that would be like, make it creepier. But if you, like you said, touch myself is a much more like sensual, I think, like, you know what I'm saying?
And thinking of you is like different than... Hey, so the computer was on my lap and I was in front of the TV and it was like 3 o'clock on a Wednesday. Like, it's all like too much. Like, so I understand he just missed how to say it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, but I don't think this is a deal breaker.
I don't either. I think if I was into the hookup and I was like into the guy, I wouldn't like really mind. I think I'd prefer to hear this on maybe like after they had actually met me, because it seems like something about the fact that they never, again, like what I just said about like the idea that there could be many men on the internet, just like strangers. I think the stranger thing is the most like unsettling. Like he didn't know her. He didn't really know her at all. But I think after the first date, I would be into it.
Yeah. It's funny that like, I was thinking of like, if a woman did this to me, I would be so fucking into it. Like, it wouldn't weird me out at all. I the more the explanation, the hotter for some reason. Just like her being, I don't know, but I don't think it would ever happen. I don't think it would
happen for someone who had never met you, probably, unless they were like a huge fan. But
I don't know. Yeah, it is funny how different this, like, for a man, I don't think any man would be like, oh, you what?
Right.
To my pictures? Like,
I think it's a red flag just because it's the first date. But any other time, like if any other encounter after their first encounter, I'm like, oh, like that encounter, like we had a great time and like they're thinking about me. Like that's, and it's kind of hot. Mm. Like if I were into it, I think I'd be into it.
Yeah, this guy just needs some like speech writing classes.
Yes. Finesse.
A little finesse. Yeah, let's do another.
Okay.
Hi, J&J. Jordana, congrats on getting married. Jared, I love seeing you in Madison months ago. Thank you. I've been procrastinating on this email for a while. Here it is. Red flag or deal breaker? Your partner makes you wash out your mouth before anything sexual happens. Backstory. I went on a date with a guy who followed the Jain religion. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I think it's popular in India, I believe.
Okay. I went on a date with a guy who followed the Jain religion, which has a lot of food restrictions. They practice the value of all life, which means they practice a vegan diet, but also don't eat root vegetables or broccoli or cauliflower due to the preparing those vegetables leading to potentially killing some organisms. Wow, I didn't know that. Each follower can take it as far as they'd like. This guy ate dairy and root vegetables, but followed all the other restrictions. The guy I went on a date with did not ask that I follow his same diet, but did ask that if I ate what I liked, I wash out my mouth or brush my teeth before anything were to occur between us. This was a deal breaker for me, but I'm curious what y'all think on this. What do you think, Jordan?
I think it's no different than someone being like, I'm kosher.
Yeah.
And we use different plates. So like, I don't mind if you eat unkosher stuff, but if you come to my house, like I'd prefer you like not bring it into my house, I guess. Maybe.
So there's no like, I can understand where you can go down the road of like, it basically feels like someone being like, wash out that dirty mouth of yours before you touch me. You know, like I could understand that.
I think it would depend how they explained it and how it felt when they like explained it. But if it was just explained as like a religious thing that like, I don't think it would bother me that much. I mean, it might get old. Do you know what I mean?
Your teeth would look better. You know, like that's like, I guess like you're doing extra brushing maybe that you wouldn't have done before. The way she explained it here would not offend me.
Yeah.
Like if this is how it was explained, like, hey, this is just where I'm at and I would prefer it if you did that. I would be cool with it.
Yeah, I think it'd be fine with it. And if I wasn't fine with it, then like if it was too much of a burden on my lifestyle, I think we wouldn't be a match.
Well, what if, let me change this a little bit. What if it's this person's just like, they say it for hygiene reasons, not religious, just being like, hey, can you do a little mouthwash before you suck my dick? Like,
I don't think we get along. I'm pretty messy. Yeah. I just like, do you know what I mean? I'm not like against that, like in theory, if that's like anything their thing. I just, it would be a deal breaker for me because like, if you don't like that, like you're not going to like my shit that's like literally everywhere. Sure. And
things are getting worse from here.
Yeah. What about you?
I think it's a deal breaker for me. It's just too much. The religion one actually like is less of a deal breaker. Like I'd be like, if someone was this religious, I don't think we would be getting to this point anyways, but I also, it isn't a deal breaker for me, but if it was hygiene, if they were like, yeah, I got to make sure, I'd be like, we're not going to get along. This is over.
I agree. Let's do one more.
All right, let's do one more.
Hey, J&J, I have a timely COVID red flag or deal breaker for you. I've been talking to a guy. We had first date plans for a night earlier this week. I found out I had COVID and I had to cancel, so I broke the news to him. His response was, let's go anyway. I'm the most immune person out there. I love this question. Love it.
Yeah.
When I told him I didn't feel comfortable going out to a bar or restaurant and exposing others to COVID, he replied again with, I'm super immune. I've had COVID twice. I'm not worried. He also suggested going straight to his apartment instead of going to a bar. Getting a bad vibe from this reaction and was curious about your thoughts. Red flag or deal breaker? Love the show and I'm a devoted listener. Keep up doing the Lord's work.
This is hilarious. Like the idea that COVID was the best thing that ever happened to this guy. He's like, oh, good. You'll just come to my place. We'll just like make dinner and like hook up. You know, like that's like, it just sounds like, it sounds like someone who's like, just really needs like looking to hook up.
Yeah. Really needs this right now. And to me, more than like, I guess like the COVID thing is like the way that she's being able to see that. So it's almost like a good thing. Cause he's like, listen, like, I don't give a shit. Like, I just need to have sex tonight. Like,
yeah.
I'm super immune. I don't care if we infect this whole restaurant. Like, I have needs.
Yeah. To me, it's he's just, what you just said, like, COVID means nothing to him. It is like, it's as if she's texting with his penis.
Right. That's exactly what it feels like. It's like, I just got to get there. Got to get there. And yeah, to me, that's the biggest turnoff. Obviously, like, the fact that he doesn't care about. It's also like, it would be different if they were supposed, let's say this was a third date and they were supposed to go to his apartment anyway. And him being like, listen, like, I really, like, I've just had it. I really don't, like, it doesn't bother me. Like, if you want to still come, like, I'm still down to hang out. That's a different thing than like, who cares? Like,
did he even ask if she feels okay?
Yeah, that too.
Like, didn't even like, hey, are you okay? Just come over. Like, yeah, I'm with you. It just feels like it's a doth protest too much situation where it's like, this must, it's not even the COVID to me. Like, it's just the lack of concern.
The intensity.
Anything other than this,
which this
date
has to happen.
Happening.
Yeah, I agree. It's like a one, it would almost be a little scary to me. I'd be like,
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? When someone's trying too hard at that situation, it's like, what is, like, it's a turnoff.
It's a turnoff, totally. And it's like, the fact that she's like, she says, he says, let's go anyway, I'm immune. And then she goes, well, I don't want to, like, get other people exposed. That's like, the whole reason COVID is so socially difficult is this idea that you can expose someone else who will then pass it on to someone who has, you know, doesn't have the immunity that maybe everyone else has, is
right.
Immunocompromised. So that's the whole, like, unsettling thing. This guy has zoned in so much to his own immunity that it just shows you, like, I mean, what kind of a lover would this guy be? He's, right. He's not even thinking
so
of anyone
selfish.
Else.
Exactly. He's not thinking of anyone else right now. So,
and there's levels of acting selfish. This just feels like it's way more selfish than I would kind of prance around the city.
And it's not even subtly selfish. It's like extremely blatantly selfish. She's like, well, what about the other people? Yeah. He's like, fuck the other people.
I got these balls full of cum.
Exactly.
Listen,
but anyway,
that's it for this week's Red Flag or Deal Breaker, presented by Impossible Foods. Not only do they provide meat made from plants for meat eaters, they're also on a mission to unfuck the planet. I gotta say, it tastes so good. It's so easy to cook. The chicken nuggets, whoo, I had them. Delish, easy to cook. They're crispy, tender, delicious chicken nuggets made from plants. They have a golden brown breading on the outside and a juicy bite on the inside. Plus, they're better for the planet than animal chicken nuggets. Visit ImpossibleFoods.com to get with Impossible today. That's ImpossibleFoods.com. Foods.com. Well, Jordana, we saved dating again.
I'm so proud of us. We did it. And, you know, if you love the show, write us a review, tell a friend, you know, the works. We want the works from you guys.
I mean, we went long today, so this is what we got you through an extra half hour today that we never would have done. So share.
You're welcome. Anyway, we will see you on Sunday. Bye.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com. Betches.